Sayaka Matsuoka. I'm a journalist. So I grew up in Greensboro, born in New York on the island in Manhattan, but raised in Greensboro. And I was raised sort of on the north side of Greensboro near like Summerfield, on the edge of Greensboro and Summerfield. So I went to school at Jesse Wharton for a little bit, then Summerfield Elementary, then Kernodle, and then Northwest. And I would say that being on the northern part of town, it was predominantly white. And so throughout most of like my elementary through high school, feel like I was like, at least through elementary and middle school, I feel like I was like one of the only Asian kids in my class at any given time. Like I would see other Asians and we like knew about each other, but like I didn't see them that often. And so because of that, I think growing up, I didn't have like a lot of Asian friends. We had like family friends in South Carolina through my parents' business that I knew that I'd grown up with who were also Japanese. So I was close to them up until like maybe like middle school or so, but then, you know, family stuff gets busy. And so we didn't visit them as much. So yeah, growing up, I never really had close Asian friends, which is sort of different, completely different from how my sister grew up, and that she gravitated towards the only Asians that she would find. And she grew up with mostly Asian friends and now has almost all exclusively Asian friends. And she joined like an Asian club at UNCG in college. And so all of her like friends as adults are Asian. But now I'm doing sort of like, I'm moving backwards, and then I'm like trying to like actively make Asian friends now as like a 28-year-old, because I don't have any. And most of my friends are white, and I feel like, yeah, it's weird. It's weird that I don't have Asian friends, and it makes me sad. So I'm like trying to make more Asian friends. There was a lot of self-hate up until I got to like maybe college, where I was like very much avoidant of like my Asianness and my Japaneseness. Outside of like being at home, because of course at home, like both my parents are Japanese, and you know, my mom cooks Japanese meals and we speak Japanese, so I was very much entrenched in the culture. But not having any of that sort of like exposure in Greensboro outside of my house, I think I did like wish to be white. So like I wanted to like be white. There was this girl I remember in high school that I tried to like copy. She was like the popular girl, like the Regina George of our high school. So like I bought like the same like butterfly clips that she had, or ones that looked like it, right, to try and like be her. And I think, you know, everybody wants to be the popular girl in high school, but I think a part of that was also that I just like truly really wanted to be white. And so I did I think avoid making friends with Asians. That plus the fact that there weren't that many Asians, I feel like, when I was growing up. And then, yeah, for my sister, she was lucky, I think, because like we had another family friend who, they bought a house like across the street from us, and they were also Japanese, and they had a kid, a daughter, that was like a year younger than my sister. So they were super close, and they grew up best friends from the age of like 4. So they were also always really close, and she always had that like Asian best friend. And I never had someone that was like close in my age, except for like my sister. So she had that. And so I think she developed friends. And then there were some other Asian kids in our neighborhood who were around that same age. So she also developed friendships with them. And I think it was just like sort of a natural continuation of that, of like being comfortable, like being Asian with other Asians. And so she was like, oh, like this feels good, so I'm gonna continue to just like have Asian friends and seek Asian friends. Whereas like I was the opposite, because I didn't see that many other Asians. And so I feel like I didn't really have the opportunity to make friends. And then when I did, there was that sort of weird like combination of like self-hate, wanting to be white, and so like gravitating towards white people. And then so now, like, you know, whatever, 20 years later, I'm like, okay, I need Asian friends because I don't have any. So yeah, I think that's maybe what, like, even though we're only 4 years apart, like I think those are some of the things that contributed to our friend groups being so different. Definitely steeped in the language. I speak it better and more fluently than my sister does. The food is huge, right? Asians, I mean, all ethnic groups love food, but I feel like Asians like love food. And so like I just eat a lot of Japanese food. It's always my favorite food. My dad was a sushi chef growing up, so he would like make sushi on special occasions. My mom cooked every single meal, like for dinner. Like we had home cooked meals almost every night. And so that was like huge. So the cultural aspect I feel like was there, like the food, the language. And then to an extent, like I watched a lot of like Japanese dramas, like through middle school and high school. So like when I would go home, instead of watching like, I think like kids my age back then were watching things like One Tree Hill or like Dawson's Creek, I would be watching like Japanese dramas instead. So like, I think that's also a reason why like I kept up with like a lot of the Japanese. Cause like my sister and I growing up in the same household, I retained language better than her. And I think it might be because I watched so much Japanese drama. So a lot of it was mostly cultural. So like entertainment and food and the language. But yeah, it was really almost all confined to like being at home. And once I stepped out, there wasn't really anybody that I was like sharing that with until like maybe a little bit in high school and like college. I turned 29 this July. And so I was in college from 2010 to 2014. So 7 years ago. Ugh. It feels like a long time ago. I went to UNCG and I got a bachelor's in art history. Going to college and becoming more like self-aware and growing and maturing. That was huge for me too, in that I was like, why is it that I hate that part of myself? And then, you know, I was learning more about like race theory and intersectionality, and you know, that in college was like when like the Black Lives Matter movement really started to take off. And so thinking about all of those things and then bringing it back to my identity and my own race, I was like, wait a minute, like there's years of this hate, self-hate going on. Like, how do I undo that? You know, what is self-love in terms of like hold your identity and your race, like what does that look like? The thing that I feel like I'm missing is that community aspect. Like I'm no longer uncomfortable with like my Asianness. I'm super proud of it, like but I feel like I'm missing that portion still, and that's sort of the piece that I'm working on now. Right towards the beginning of the Black Lives Matter movement, when they were doing protests downtown, and I remember I had gone to one of the protests, and I had like written something about the protests, about like how angry I was and like my thoughts and feelings about it. And then I think around the same time I saw this like internship opportunity, maybe posted on Facebook, and I was like, okay, yeah, like this sounds like something I can do. Like I never took like a journalism class, like I can't even remember if I took a communications class. I probably did. But I just thought, I felt like I sort of understood what journalism was. And then through doing the internship, I was like, wow, this is pretty great. And I just remember like it being like a perfect like marriage of like my activism and like my like passions for like for justice married into like a solid concrete thing that I could do, right? Like put pen to paper and like enact change that way. And I do feel like I bring a certain sensibility to the paper because I am a person of color and maybe a little bit more tapped in, not that a white person wouldn't be, but I do feel a responsibility to do right by people of color too, especially as an Asian person who has privileges over other groups of color. The video games that I'm playing, it doesn't seem as common, but there are a lot of Asians. But again, it's like, you can't really tell unless like, I mean, I don't know, like sometimes I can tell someone's Asian by like what they're saying, because I feel like Asians have Asians of my generation have like a similar sense of humor, and we like watch the same memes, so like we'll say similar things. I'll be like, are you Asian? And they'll be like, yeah, are you Asian? But like, we can't see each other, so we have to go based on voice. It's a little bit easier, I think, to tell who's a girl or not from like pitch level and stuff. And even that, I don't want to assume. But yeah, females in gaming seems to be a little bit less common, although I think it's becoming more common, which is nice. Didn't play when I was younger. Like, my mom was like, it's a waste of time and your brain. So I didn't play. Like, we had a Wii, I think, but like, I never had like an Xbox or like a PlayStation. And so like when I got to college and people were playing, I would just like be so bad. But now I have a PC that my fiance built me. And so we'll like, it's like a thing that we do to bond. Like we'll play video games together. And then we got my sister into it. So when she lived with us up until recently, we had like three computers, like side by side. We had like a station, like a battle station of like PCs. And we would just like play video games together. So especially during the pandemic, it's been a really nice way to stay in touch with like friends. My fiance's brother who like lives on the other part of the state, like we would play like all the time. So it's been really nice. And I think it's like watching Netflix or something. It's just like a stupid serotonin thing. I think something happens in your brain, like when you like do the thing and you like get the points or like kill the bad guy or whatever. It's not that, I don't think it's that good for you for sure. Like sitting for 4 hours playing video games is like not good for you. I'm trying to do less of it. But I think for the longest time, like during the pandemic, it felt like one of the only things that you could do that was safe and still like social. And so we ended up playing a lot of it, but yeah, it's fun. I am really competitive, so it's nice to be able to play something where you can get better, you know, and see progress in that way. But it is a time suck. I should play less. I think in this moment, and like to an extent, Asian folks too, you know, and until the attacks happened, I mean, it's hard to be that invested in something that's not affecting you directly, right? With like the Black Lives Matter movement and stuff like that. And so I think for a lot of Asians, when the Atlanta shootings happened, they became extremely engaged, and that's great. That's, I mean, we should be, right? We should stand up for our own. Like, what does that look like living your day-to-day life? I'm concerned about like my parents who are a little bit older, if they go out to like the shops, like I don't want anybody to like, you know, do anything to them. My sister, when she studied abroad in Australia a few years ago, and again, this is before this wave of Asian hate, but she, in Australia, she was in Sydney, and there's a lot of Asian folks there. And I think the sort of like race relation between a lot of Australians and Asians is kind of how it is here with Latinx people and Americans, and that they think that, you know, the Latinx people are coming in to take their jobs. And so there's a lot of like, there's pretty strong anti-Asian sentiment in Australia. And she said that was the first time she ever blatantly was like faced racism. She was like walking down the street and some white lady was like, go back to your country. And she was like, me? Like, are you talking to me? Cause like even growing up in the South, like I don't think we ever experienced like blatant racism like that. And that might be because we're lucky. It might also be because we were, you know, born, like in the 90s, and it's, you know, it's a little bit better. And we grew up in Greensboro, which is a larger city, so it's a little bit more diverse. We're living in a pandemic, and so it's tough for everyone. And people are tired, and people have the energy basically just to live day to day. But then I think about, you know, the people who are the frontline workers who have had to work throughout the pandemic and how they're predominantly Black or brown. You know, the people who are dying from the pandemic, who are and it's disproportionately affecting Black lives. And I just like, yeah, like we're all tired, but like it's hitting other people like a lot harder. So I don't know if that means like, I think it could be a lot of ways, like being civically engaged in politics. We have an election coming up this, you know, this fall. Yeah, like sharing on social media, that's good. If you are able-bodied, like speaking out at protests, I don't know, all kinds of things, volunteering with, you know, groups that are aligned with, you know, whatever ideologies or activism that you, the other thing that I think is frustrating is that because I'm a journalist, it precludes me from doing a lot of the things that I would be doing if I wasn't a journalist, right? So that's why I believe that the passions and the activism that I have speak through my work and the things that I cover and how I cover them. I think my role is, you know, speaking out when I can, again, through my work, like covering issues and interviewing folks and sort of staying on like local groups like the one you guys are doing, and then being involved in groups like this is the way that I can sort of use my voice. And then making sure to like connect folks too, who like are in the Asian community, and sort of saying like, hey, this thing is going on, or, you know, get connected with this. Like every email I get, it seems like I got one from like Yelp or something. They're like, support all these Asian businesses. And I've never seen anything like that before, you know? And so there's like, I think the hyper awareness and like want to push Asian representation a lot because it's like popular, you know, and it's like part of like this like commodified woke culture, and it's good and I'm excited about it, but it shouldn't be like it that should also come with like civic engagement and like passing anti-hate laws, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just about representation is good, but like we need to push for more. It's not enough, and we shouldn't forget, and it shouldn't be like every time there's a tragedy we're like, oh yeah, like these people exist, like let's do like a month of this or that.